Hello, good morning and welcome to our worship service here live from St. Mellon's Baptist Church in the city of Cardiff. We're here to do something quite extraordinary, to worship the triune God. We come to God the Father. We come only in the merits of his Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do pray it will be in the power of God the Holy Spirit. We're being joined by people from all around Cardiff and the environs, and also I can see from the Derbyshire Dales and from Taunton and from Wiltshire. Well, a warm welcome in the name of Jesus Christ to you wherever you're worshipping the Lord this morning. Lockdown is beginning to ease, certainly in England at a quicker pace than here in Wales. There were churches starting to meet in England last week, and we are looking at the regulations that will be revealed here in Wales. But there will be small steps, and it seems if we did meet, it would be in a quite draconian way. The chapel's pretty empty at the moment, and you're sitting comfortably at home. If there was a way forward, it would be in isolated pockets around the chapel. You'd be wearing a face mask. We couldn't sing. We could hardly speak to each other. You'd be shown in. You'd be shown out again. But we'll look at those regulations, and we need to continue to pray that God would give us wisdom and that God would open a door that we might be able to meet together. We have lessons to learn. May he teach us those lessons, not only as his people, but as a watching world as well. And that soon we might be able to meet together in great freedom, and not only meet physically, but sing his praises to the glory of his name and know what it is to encourage one another. I've had lots of emails and conversations with members saying, I will never take meeting together in the chapel for granted again. Well, if we can learn that lesson, what a mighty lesson to learn. But here I am, and Nick is here as well, and you're sat at home in family groups or as couples or as an individual. Let's focus on the great task to worship the living God. Our fellowship together is very precious. And there's the Zoom meeting, of course, at 12 o'clock. I'd encourage as many as possibly can to join together on Zoom. I've had a message this morning that it's a special birthday for Izzy. And you are 7 today. And we wish you, as a whole church family, a very happy day today, Izzy. Your 7th birthday. Very special indeed. And I was 7 once as well. Well, let's begin by singing a hymn to the glory of God. It'll take quite a bit of our breath, I believe. I'm told it goes at quite a pace. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. All hail the power.
Oh,
Well, that certainly has taken a lot of physical energy and also spiritual energy, praising the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see now we're joined by people from Mid Wales and West Wales, and also that wonderful seaside resort of Bournemouth as well. May God bless us as we worship him together. The reading I have, we're still in Luke's Gospel, but the reading I have is Psalm 2. It's a brief psalm. I'll read all of it. Psalm 2. And this is a psalm pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And see if you can spot him here in this glorious psalm. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. May God bless his word to us and give us understanding and help us to respond in a right way towards him. Well, children, a few words to say to you. I forgot to mention the words to look out for last Sunday during the service, but if you've got a pen and a piece of paper, there are five words I'd like you to look out for when I come to the message. It won't be a very long message. I hope you can stay in and sit with mum and dad or mum or dad and listen, because there'll be something helpful for you. And as you're listening, look out for five words in particular. And they are rise, fall, Jesus, embrace, and here's a strange one, it's somebody's name, Bezos. I meant to look up how you spell it and I forgot, so spell it how you like, but it's Bezos. So rise, fall, Jesus, embrace, and Bezos. But now, children, for you, I try and learn something new every day, and I learned something new, I think it was... Yeah, it was Tuesday of this week, and I'm amazed I didn't know this. I've ridden bikes all my life, and in the last few years, of course, we've been encouraged to use cycle helmets. And this is my cycle helmet, and when I go on my bike, I put my cycle helmet on, and I get on my bike, and this protects my head. If I fell off my bike, I'd have the helmet to protect my head. So I hope, children, when you're on your scooter or your bike, you wear your cycle safety helmet. But it was last Tuesday, I'm pretty sure it was Tuesday, one of the family were around the house, and Ben said to me, it's not my son Ben, but another Ben in the family said to me, I've got a new cycle helmet. Do you want to try it on? It was a lovely white cycle helmet, and I tried it on, put it on my head, and he said to me, it looks a bit loose, tighten it up. I said, how do I do that? He said, well, at the back, there's a little button. And there is. There's a button at the back of every cycle helmet, and you simply turn it round, and it draws the straps together inside, so the cycle helmet grips your head. And I've had a cycle helmet for about 25 years, and I've seen that little button on the back, and I thought it was just a little bit of decoration, but it's an important part of the cycle helmet. My cycle helmet was always a little bit too big for me, so it wobbled around. But since Tuesday, when I put my helmet on, I turn this little button at the back and it grips my head tightly. And now when I'm cycling, if I did come off, my helmet wouldn't slip off and I would be safe. Seems such a little thing, an obvious thing, and I missed it and I didn't know it. Do you know, boys and girls, the Bible, you've probably been using a Bible all your life, and there's lots of wonderful stories in the Bible. But what's the point of the Bible? The Bible is there to bring us to know God, to bring us to know God, and to take us to heaven. And how can we do that? We can read all the wonderful stories, but there's one essential person that rises throughout the Bible, and his name is Jesus. And we can sometimes miss him. He's in the Old Testament, he's in the Law, he's in the Psalms, he's in the Prophets, he's in the Gospels, he's in the Letters, he's everywhere. And we need to find Christ, and we need to use Christ, and Christ pulls everything together. The Bible shows us that we are sinners, and that we need a Saviour, and the Bible shows us that Jesus is the only Saviour. Well, my cycle helmet, when I tighten it and use it properly, can save my head from getting injured. But the Bible, when I use it properly and find Jesus Christ there, not only saves my body for eternity, but will save my soul for the whole of eternity. Make sure you do find the Lord Jesus Christ. Well then, now some announcements about meetings in the coming days. Straight after the morning service, there's the Zoom fellowship at 12 o'clock. Do come on to that if you possibly can. After a brief time together, there'll be breakout rooms, maybe three or four opportunities in different breakout rooms to fellowship with a smaller group of folks. This afternoon, the last of the series of three of my addresses to the Ballet Ministers Conference will be loaded up. And we're looking this time at preaching the gospel in the power of the Spirit to the glory of God is the emphasis of this afternoon's message. And watch it either this afternoon or else through the week. And then around about 8 o'clock, well, not around about, but at 8 o'clock, there will be the Sunday evening Zoom discussion where we can bring up aspects of the ministry that's come on Wednesday or on Sundays. It's quite a small group who meet there. I think we were only eight last Sunday night. We've been up to as many as 12. If it did get to a bigger group, again, we can go into breakout groups. But it's for those who want to ask questions about the ministry and perhaps dig a little deeper. We had an interesting time last Sunday evening. So I'd encourage you, if you can come along, do come along at 8 o'clock and enjoy fellowship with him and fellowship with each other. And then the usual Tuesday morning prayer meeting on Zoom at 11 a.m. This week, the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening is a combined one, 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock with ministry for 20 minutes, and then a time in breakout rooms for discussion and then prayer together. Friday evening at 7:45 is the Zoom YPF. It's the last official meeting before the summer break, and it's a very special evening, actually, for the YPF. We've got two very special guests who are being brought in at great expense from different parts of Wales, and they'll be interviewed, and they'll give something of their story. So it should be a good conclusion, and it'll be a virtual barbecue as well. You provide your own hot dogs and burgers. That's the YPF, 7:45 this Friday, and then of course next Sunday, God willing, the service at 10:30. I think that's all I need to mention in particular. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the glorious privilege that we have to meet together around your word, and we pray it would be in the power and inspired and indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. We come to the Father in the merits of the Son, in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Whatever our circumstances might be this morning in separate rooms and dwellings around the city, around Wales, around Britain, and overseas as well, we pray as we're in the moment together, hearing the same word, ministered to by the same Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us as individuals, as families, and as a gathered church family as well. We are a needy people. We thank you for our salvation. We've been justified through faith alone in Christ alone. We are safe for eternity. Once saved, always saved, for this is a work of God. Jesus' words are powerful. I will save my people from their sin. And we thank you if we're in him, we're in him forever. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus, and bring on all comers in heaven or in hell or on planet earth, whatever it might be, times past, present and future. Nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So we are thankful for our security. Pray we wouldn't use it in a lax way, but with grateful hearts, empower us and enable us to serve the living God all the days that you will give to us. We pray that all that might thrill our souls will be Jesus, and not only when we're first converted, but to our latest breath and all moments in between. May Jesus be the focus and the center. Apart from him, we have nothing. There's hopelessness is all that we have apart from him. We pray he will always be wonderful to us. We'd always delight ourselves in the Lord our God. Pray this morning will be a means of grace to us. We pray for those who are struggling with health situations in the life of the fellowship here, others who are looking to you for direction in matters of employment. We do pray, Father, you would lead and guide, that we would know strength as our need and as our days are, so may our strength be, we do pray. We commend each other to your good care. We pray we continue as we sing a further hymn to worship you, and then to hang on your every word as you speak to us through that word. And we would pray you give clarity and reality to each and every one of us. Forgive us for our many sins, we do pray, in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, before we look into God's word together, we'll sing a further hymn. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
My joy, my
No fate I dread. I know I am forgiven. The future sure. The price it has been paid for. Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and he was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold. My sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. All the chains are released. I can sing. I am free. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. What a glorious, glorious faith and gospel has possessed our hearts. It's come from heaven. It's invaded our hearts. It will sweep us into glory. We're looking at Luke chapter 2 at the moment. We're working through Luke. We've reached chapter 2. These are events that happen at the presentation of Jesus Christ in the temple towards the end of Luke chapter 2. We're looking at Simeon, who comes into the temple. He's just an ordinary person. He's believing the Testament scriptures that the Messiah would come. He's waiting with eager anticipation. It's been revealed to him he won't die before he sees the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he enters the temple as Christ, the baby, is being presented there. And the Spirit tells him, this is he. He embraces the child and he begins to speak. Of course, he must speak. Embracing Christ, we must tell others about him. He says, I'm now ready to die. I'm now ready to... Well, he doesn't use the term die. For a Christian never dies. We fall asleep. I'm ready to depart. Are you ready to leave this planet? That's the big issue, because one day you will, but where will you go? It all depends on how you respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon can say, I'm ready to go because for I have seen the Lord's anointed. Have you seen him? Don't die without Jesus. You cannot afford to die without him. And Jesus, says Simeon, is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of Israel. And then last week we began to look at the response of Mary and Joseph, and we didn't get very far. And we read these words, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. They'd heard much about the child already through angels and shepherds and wise men at some point. But now they're hearing it again and they marvel still. Have we lost the wonder of what it means to be loved with everlasting love by the triune God? The Father sending the Son coming into the world, living, dying, rising again, the Holy Spirit making it real. Have I lost that initial thrill of the Lord Jesus Christ? May we look to rekindle that, and may that love ever burn in our hearts. But Simeon hasn't finished with the words he wants to speak, and inspired by the Spirit now, he goes on to make this prophetic utterance, and we'll look at it now for a few minutes. Verses 34 and 35. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Here is a prophetic utterance. And this prophetic utterance from Simeon was fulfilled in those days in which they were first spoken. This prophetic word of Simeon is being fulfilled right now all over the world. It's being fulfilled right now, right where you're sitting. As this message goes out, this prophetic word of Simeon is being fulfilled. And this prophetic message of Simeon will be ultimately fulfilled on that great, great day of the Lord. But primarily, let's think now, this is being fulfilled as I stand here preaching, and you and I are both under the same word. What we're looking at and what Simeon prophesied and what is a reality is the awesome effect of the gospel message. The awesome effect of the gospel message. And Simeon points to this child, the child he's embracing, the child he's now seeing. This child, says Simeon, is appointed for the falling and rising of many. This child is appointed for the fall and for the rise, for the fall and for the rise of many. Appointed. Appointed. When was he appointed? That's why I read Psalm 2. We learn about the appointment of this child in Psalm 2 and throughout the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, that this child was appointed. He is set in place. Let me read this psalm again to you. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. His appointed, his anointed. And the world is taking counsel and saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Let's be rid of their rule. But this is an entire mismatch. Here are the peoples of the earth, a tiny, tiny speck in the vastness of the universe, and this tiny, tiny little planet with millions and billions swarming over the surface. And they shake their fists and they want to break the bonds of the one who is the God and the glory of eternity, the one who is infinite in his person, in his being, in his power. And they want to break away from God, and this is sin. They want to break the cords of righteousness and glory and beauty. And he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he speaks to them in his wrath and terrifying them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I have appointed my king, my anointed one. I have set him in place. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. And the Lord Jesus Christ has a heritage, and he has many people who we will gather together, and we will be his everlasting possession. You will break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise and be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, what a wonderful turn of phrase, lest he be angry and you perish in the way of your life on this planet, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. See, I have appointed my king in Zion. I have made a decree, says the Father. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Well, that's Psalm 2, written about 3,000 years ago by King David, around 1,000 BC. But when did this appointing take place? When did Jesus Christ become God the Son? Well, in the depths of eternity past, before there ever was a universe, Jesus Christ is appointed to be the only Savior of mankind, and he's appointed to be the Son of God. In fact, the Bible describes him as the eternal Son of God. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us about Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundations of the world. In eternity past, God the Father appoints God the Son to this great office of Savior and Redeemer. And it's Jesus Christ who has been appointed to the fall and the rise of many. This is a great division. Will you fall or will you rise? I want to look at it in two aspects, and they won't be very long. First of all, just mention this. Your response to Jesus Christ seals your eternal destiny. Your response to Jesus Christ seals your eternal destiny. You will either fall or you will rise. You will either fall eternally or rise eternally based on your response to Jesus Christ. You will fall, it will be hell, or you will rise, it will be heaven. The word for fall used here means a crash, a great, great fall, a mighty fall. And the word rise is the same word that's the root of the word for resurrection. The Greek word anastasis means to stand up again. I was down and I stood up again in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This child, says Simeon, holding a little baby in his arms. What faith Simeon had. Do you have faith to see? This child he's holding in his arms is appointed. When? It's mentioned throughout the Old Testament, but way before then, in the misty depths of eternity past, this child was appointed, is appointed for the fall and the rise of many. And your response to him will seal your eternal destiny. Either Jesus Christ is your judge or he is your savior. For every single human being, all 7.569 billion on planet Earth, Jesus Christ, Simeon says, this child is appointed for the rise and fall of many. He's either your judge where you fall, or he's your savior and you will rise. Many, we're told, will oppose Jesus. Many, therefore, will fall. And today, as you're listening to this message, what do you make of Jesus Christ? You cannot be indifferent. The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. I was telling the children earlier how we could... Is it possible to wear a safety helmet for 25 years and not know what that button on the back was about? Yes, it's possible. It happened to me. Is it possible to read the Bible and not to see Jesus Christ and the essential nature of who he is and his powerful work on behalf of sinners? Well, yes, it is. It's possible to read the Bible and go to church and even serve in the life of the church and to miss the essential essence of it all. And I oppose him in my heart, and many oppose him throughout the world. Why? Why would you oppose him? What is your opinion of Jesus? He is altogether wonderful, and we spent some time thinking on that last Sunday morning. If you missed the message, have a listen. He is altogether wonderful in his person and wonderful in his work, and yet many reject him and oppose him. It will be to their eternal destruction and crash and fall. But praise God, there are many who hear this message, and like Simeon of old, they embrace him, and in embracing him, so they rise. And it's happening today, even now. I don't know how many we have online. It seems to peak around about 90 or so these days, but that would be a number of people in each room, I suppose, listening. And maybe there's a couple of hundred people tuning in now, and then others download the sermons through the week and watch on YouTube. And what about you then? What are you doing with Jesus Christ? Is he altogether beautiful to you? Do you see the beauty of who he is, the eternal Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth? And for the sake of our salvation and his eternal glory, he leaves heaven. He comes to this planet. He takes a human body without ceasing to be God. And he takes a human nature. And in the one person of Jesus Christ, we have the God-man, fully God, fully man. And he's come to do helpless sinners good. Our sin means under the wrath, the just wrath of God, we should fall forever. But God desires that we should rise. So sin must be dealt with. And what can deal with sin? Well, not religion and not morality and not the ingenuity of mankind. We're left with a stain of sin, and the wrath of God is upon us. And the Savior comes into the world, and man in his foolishness rejects the only possible Savior and continues to close his eyes and rebel and go another way or try religion. It will never, ever work. But here's the Savior. He lived for me a perfect life. He died the death that I deserve. He suffered eternal hell on Calvary for all those who will simply repent and believe in him, trust in him. How do I know it's all true? Well, he rose. He was the first to rise from the dead. He's the firstborn among many brethren. He ascended back into heaven. The Holy Spirit was sent. And it's the Holy Spirit who can convince you right now that you need a Savior. Oh, many today are embracing, as Simeon of old did, this Savior. And it will be to your eternal good and to the eternal glory of God. But I'm thinking ahead now to another occasion, a day the Bible speaks a great deal about. On average, one in every 30 verses in the Bible speaks about a prophecy that hasn't yet happened. There are 2,000 direct prophecies to a great event. It's the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ, Judgment Day, the end of the world as we know it, the setting up of those eternal states of heaven and hell. It's the ultimate fall. It's the ultimate rise. And this child is appointed to the rise or the fall of multitudes of many. For this baby in arms will one day be seen as he truly is now, the King on the great white throne. And we are told all nations will be gathered before him. And he is appointed as the only judge of mankind. And on that day, all that will matter is, what have you done with Jesus? What did you do with me? Will be the question that Jesus Christ will put to you. And all nations will be there. And Laurel and Hardy will be there. And Margaret Thatcher and Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. And the Beatles will be there. And the monkeys and Charles Darwin will be there. Julius Caesar, Augustus, Herod, Pontius Pilate. Everybody will be there. And you'll be there. And I'll be there. And Jesus will ask a question, and this will seal your eternal destiny. What did you do with me? And you'll have to answer. And this man, what's his first name? Bezos. Richest man in the world, multi-billionaire, the Amazon guy. Anyway, him, Mr., we'll call him Mr., forgotten his first name. Mr. Bezos, what did you do with me? I was worth $166 billion. $166 billion. Jeff Bezos. I've actually written it down in my notes. It's actually written here. Jeff Bezos. Not interested. What did you do with me? I built a mighty company that employed millions of people and gave benefit to folks the whole world over. What did you do with me? I was a great philanthropist and I gave to charities all over. What did you do with me? Nothing. And there will be an eternal fall. Another face in the crowd. Caleb Smith. What did you do with me? Oh, I was a beggar I was on the streets, I'd lost my home, I had nowhere to go. Someone was passing by and they told me about you and gave me a little book to read. And I read it and it was all about you, how you left the realms of glory and came to this world and lived for somebody like me and died the death that I deserved. And I believe that, Lord Jesus, and I repented of my sin and I trusted in you. And a few days later, I died. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You will eternally rise, for in me you will rise for eternity. All that matters on that great day is, what have you done with Jesus? You need to embrace him now and you will rise. You will rise. Let me conclude by saying this morning. This fall and this rise, it can be looked at in the way I've just described, a great division of humanity. But we can also rightly apply the fall and the rise to every single individual who does become a true believer in Jesus Christ, because this is the story of Christian conversion. Before I can ever rise, I need to fall. I mean, often when we use these words, rise and fall, rise comes first, the rise and the fall of Reginald Perrin. I remember that series on the television in the 1970s, that ages me. The rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. It rose and then it fell. It rose and then it fell. But for the Christian, we need to fall before we can rise. It's completely the other way around in spiritual circles. I don't just drift into Christianity. It's not a mere mental assent to a series of precepts. It's not an acceptance of a concept. I need to fall before I can rise. Something must invade my heart. And the gospel power that invades my heart is mentioned here by Simeon. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and a sign that is opposed. Now notice this, it's spoken to Mary, but it's true of every single believer. If I'm to become a Christian, a sword will pierce through your own soul. This is the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. It does refer to Mary and the agony and the anguish as she watched Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary and recognizing, well, what he was doing and the pain he was going through. Oh, a pain, a sword did pierce her own soul. But a sword will pierce the soul of everyone who becomes a true believer. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God that divides and separates the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow. It reveals what I really am, a sinner before a holy God, and the hopelessness and the helplessness of it all, and the vanity of life without the meaning of life, which is God himself. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Before I can ever rise, I need to fall. And in this work of the Spirit, the thoughts of many hearts are revealed. The heart of man is desperately wicked and evil above all things. Who can know it? I need to understand that. And I need to fall. The way into heaven is a narrow gate. And I go in humbly and I need to bow down. But once having been revealed the state of my heart, he begins to show me the answer, the beauty of Jesus Christ, his person and his work. And in repenting towards God and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, I rise in him. And I know eternal life here and now. And I know I'm heaven bound when I die, as I must. Not because of what I've done, but all because of what he has done for me. Or he's appointed for the rising and falling of many, falling and rising of many, the great division of all humanity. What is your opinion of Jesus? But he's also appointed for the fall and the rise of everyone who will become a true believer. I must see my sin, the depths of it, and then the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done to take away my sin, not just sin in general, but my sin. Yes, God did so love the world, but he also so loved me. And it needs to be personal for you and for me. Well, as we come to a conclusion this morning, this prophecy of Simeon is being fulfilled right here and right now. This child is appointed for the fall and rise of many. What will you do with him? Oh, I'd urge you, embrace him here and now. And if you have already embraced him, keep close to him, keep embracing him, and may you know his loving embrace all the days of your life. May it truly be that you can say and you can sing, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000 in my precious Lord I see. Would you be able to say, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Never lose the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do, still saved, I've little doubt about that. Or at times we can wonder, but when Christians become grumpy and harsh and critical, and you wonder, where's the joy of the Lord? Oh, I'm pursuing this. I'm pursuing Jesus Christ. How marvelous, how wonderful. May that be upfront with us as a body of believers. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for an all too brief time in your word. We do pray that this prophecy of Simeon might be fulfilled in our presence this day in a very positive way, that Jesus Christ will be for the rising of many, that we would know what it is to have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For any here who need to fall before they can rise, Spirit divine, we pray you would do your unique work, showing people their need, and that need met in the Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory, we pray. Amen. Well, we'll conclude then with a final hymn. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. How marvelous, how wonderful.
Oh, Let's pray.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. Amen.
Well, the clock for all who can make it.